Here is another attempt to save water in Las Vegas. The local water company is paying homeowners to tear up their lawns $1 a square foot, and you never have to water again.
Meanwhile, in the upper Midwest, the Great Lakes hold almost one-fifth of all the world's fresh surface water. Hey, the southwestern states have an idea. Let's share.
Yeah, hold on. The Midwest has heard that before. Sandy Houseman reports.
To understand the rules governing diversion of Great Lakes water, come with me to the top of a hypothetical hill in northern Illinois during a rainstorm. 200 years ago, before sewers, paved roads, and canals, you would see some streams filling up and flowing east into Lake Michigan, while others flowed west toward the Mississippi River. Geographers noted these natural patterns and divided the upper Midwest into the Great Lakes Basin and the Mississippi Basin. In 2005, Great Lakes governors decided to ban transfer of water outside the Great Lakes Basin through an agreement commonly known as the Compact.
It has to be passed by each of the 8 state legislatures and then consented to by Congress. At that time, it then becomes both state and federal law, and it's an incredibly powerful tool.
That's Dave Nafsker, executive director of the Great Lakes Governors Council. So far, he says, Minnesota and Illinois have approved the Compact. Both houses of the New York legislature have signed off, and Nafsker thinks the other states will come around. But what about Congress, with so many representatives from the Sun Belt?
During the negotiations, we briefed members of Congress and their staff, and the consistent message that we heard was that we want the Great Lakes region to figure out how to use Great Lakes water. We want the Colorado River states to deal with the Colorado River and so forth.
Of course, governments have been known to ignore the law when it suits them. What they're less likely to ignore is economics. Jonathan Bulkley teaches environmental engineering at the University of Michigan. He says it would be massively expensive to transport water around, through, or over the Rocky Mountains.
If anyone wonders about this, what they should do is fill a gallon pail of water and start at their first floor and carry it up to their second floor. And I think one will get a sense of the amount of energy it takes to elevate water to different altitudes. And that's what has to happen when you're doing these diversions.
In the early 80s, Bulkley tried to figure out what it would take to get Lake Superior water as far as South Dakota.
$19 billion to build the physical infrastructure to deliver that water a distance of nearly 700 miles.
And then you'd need electricity to move the water west.
7 1,000-megawatt power plants dedicated to providing the energy to pump that water.
Those would have cost $1 billion apiece, which is why Kathy Jacobs, executive director of the Arizona Water Institute, holds no hope of getting any relief from the Great Lakes or any other diversions from the north.
You know, towing icebergs and bags of water and pipelines all over the country. The one importation option that I've heard discussed most seriously is an exchange with Mexico that involves desalination.
And even that would be limited by the energy needed to make it happen. Instead, Jacobs says Western states are conserving water, reusing it on lawns, and thinking about paying farmers to stop irrigating. What's more, she says, demand for water in the Sun Belt could fall as global warming drives residents who once fled the Snow Belt back to Great Lakes cities.
In the Phoenix area, there were more than 30 days over 110 degrees this last summer.
And in Chicago, there were none. For NPR News, I'm Sandy Houseman.